Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru and solver of problems. That's what I do the best. And that is, I'm not bragging, though. I just want to make sure you understand that. I guess anytime you run a business, somebody has to be a problem solver or a person who delegates problems to people to be solved. And I like to do both. I like to solve, and I like to delegate to solve and let people see what they can do. And I don't think they ever learn if you do everything for them, right? So anyway, I learned a lesson yesterday. Decided I was going to solve a problem on my own. And here was the problem. So, you know, have you ever had a titling issue with a car? You know, everybody has to go and to the tag office, and you know, if you buy a car from an individual, you got to pay your sales tax and register the vehicle and go through all that stuff. If you buy a new car, you know, typically if you finance the car, the dealership is going to do that for you. They're going to charge you for it. You're going to get a temporary tag slapped on the back of your car. It's good for 30 days, and hopefully sometime within that 30 days you'll get your tags. Sometimes that doesn't happen quickly. We've talked about what can delay you getting your tags is a payoff, for example, on the vehicle that you're buying. If you're buying a used car that was traded in recently, then it may be a while before the dealership actually gets the title. They have to pay it off first, and sometimes the banks hold the checks to make sure they clear and stuff, and then finally you get what you want. But when you don't have a title, you buy a car and you don't, and the person you're buying the car from does not have a title, what do you do? Well, it's a serious problem if it's a car that's 25 years old or newer. You got to have a title or you don't buy the car. But if you are able to buy a car from somebody and, you know, so say just like this 49 Buick Roadmaster that my issue was with yesterday, I knew I had a title. And I bought the car about, I don't know, 6 months ago. And so I'm getting ready to sell it on my favorite auction website. And one of the things they always want to see is the picture of the title, and they want to see the VIN plate on the car. So I called my office manager, and I said, Diane, I need to see the title on the 49 Buick. She said, okay, come to the office. So she headed out. I took a picture of it. And so I go up to G2, where we do all of our restorations and stuff, and I see the car, and I opened up the hood. I thought I remember seeing the VIN plate underneath the hood, but actually it wasn't under there. There's a plate under there, but that is the trim tag, what they call the trim tag. It has the model number and the color that it was built with and interior. Sometimes it has engine codes and stuff like that on it. But anyway, that's not what I needed. I needed the vehicle identification number, the chassis number. So I looked around a little bit, and I saw it on the A pillar, which is the pillar. Basically, when I say a pillar, I'm talking about right along the firewall of the vehicle, where the front door attaches, where the hinges are. That's the A pillar, and it goes all the way up and becomes the windshield post, basically. And so this was affixed to the windshield post. And there it was. So I said, well, there's the number. And I looked at the number, took a picture of it, and I said, whoops, and looked at the picture of the title, and the VIN was different than the VIN on the car. So I'm saying, I wonder if there's another VIN number hidden on this car somewhere. So I Googled it. Nope, that's where the VIN is on a 49 Buick. So sometime in the past, this thing has probably changed hands a million times, but somewhere in the past, somebody put the wrong number down as the chassis number. So what do you do? Well, I've been through this before, and so I went down to the courthouse or the tag office, county court clerk, I think that's what they call them. Lori Bryant is her name in Greene County. So I went to see Lori. She was busy, so I saw one of the other girls. She said, well, this is what you need. So I had to come back to the dealership. I had to pretend, basically, that other title didn't exist because it was wrong. She said, get your bill of sale where you bought the car, and you know, as long as it's under $3,000, then you can apply without having to get a surety bond. Well, what's a surety bond? And she said, well, that's where you have to get somebody from the state. You got to put money up, and you got to make sure that an inspector comes from the Department of Commerce to inspect the car and check that. I don't want to go through all that. She said, okay, just do this. So I got brought the bill of sale, and there was this one little form I had to fill out, and she printed me a copy of a new registration, and hopefully I'll get a title for this car. But that's delaying my sale. Now, while I was down there, I had another experience, and that was watching a person misbehave over a simple little issue, administrative stuff. It's amazing how mad people will get sometimes, and you know, you got to try to hold it in. I'm not lecturing, but this lady needed some lecturing. She was being rude to everybody. Matter of fact, the county court clerk, she wanted to see the boss, and so the county court clerk came out because supposedly she's handicapped, or at least has a handicapped sticker. And so she's sitting in this chair, and the county court clerk comes out. Next thing I heard, they had a little bit of conversation. Next thing I heard, that woman was saying, "You step back from me." I mean, just like that. "I don't want to see your face." And I'm just, oh, I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, it is so hard for me to keep my mouth shut. But, folks, you will be proud of me. I did keep my mouth shut. I just went over to Lori and said, "Lori, I love you. I'm so proud of you for not letting that woman control your emotions." She just kind of gritted her teeth and went on. But she understands, and we all, y'all understand, right? It is so much better when people are nice. And I understand, we talked about that some yesterday, and I get on my high horse sometimes, and I felt like exploding at times. I don't want you to think that I'm not, that I'm 100% temper resistant, because I guess everybody has their point, but sometimes you just have to choose your battles and just roll with the flow. Now, is there a time to push back against being given the runaround? Absolutely. I just think you do it nicely, and I think people will work with you more. You know, just sometimes you have to look at somebody like a service advisor or a salesperson and say, "Is there another way to do this? Do you think that we might be able to come up with a better solution? Because I'm not happy." And sometimes that will play out. But anyway, I don't know if that lady is listening to My Car Guru. She's probably one of my biggest fans, and she'll never speak to me again. You never know. So goes the car business, right? Well, let's take our first break, and I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, here's something that comes up every day, pretty much every day. I get a phone call from somebody who has received a notice in the mail, and it says that your warranty is about to expire, or last chance, you know, just the envelope, and it says it has a very threatening-looking envelope. You know, that is how you get folks to open your mail, your letter, is by putting something on the outside like final notice or something like that. That'll usually get your attention. So you open it up and it says, "Do not delay. Your warranty is about to expire," or "This is your last chance." And so, and I'm just going to tell you as a general rule, if it doesn't have the dealership's logo where you bought the car, if it doesn't have the dealership's logo on the envelope, or it doesn't say that it came from, let's say you're driving a Honda, it doesn't say that it came from Honda or Toyota or Ford or Nissan or wherever, then before you even exert the energy to open it up, pitch it in the garbage. If it says final notice, pitch it. You know, your bank, you know who you do business with as far as your bank. You know who you do business with as far as the IRS. You know, you can tell. So many of these things are deceptive, and most of the calls I get are from folks who are just, you know, many of them are retired. You know, they've been out of the business world for a while, and, you know, last thing they need is something to stress them out and you know, throw them for a loop. And if you get something like that, you know, I'm not telling you not to call me anymore. I'm just giving you your first move is to pitch it. Second move is to call me. And then we'll see if we can figure out what you're getting in the mail. But anyway, Lenny Lawson, that's me, 423-552-2020. That's my phone, cell phone number. I still get people calling the dealership, and of course, you know, that's fine. It's Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan in Greenville, Tennessee. That number is 423-639-5151. But if you want me directly and you're not wanting to buy something from the dealership, then just call me and I'll take care of you. That's what we do at My Car Guru. So anyway, what's the next topic? Oh yeah. So for many years, our industry was had a very complicated, inconsistent pricing system. Would you agree with that? You know, some people could buy cars for you know, close to the invoice or below invoice, which was the original price that we paid for the vehicle. I'll talk about that here in just a second. But anyway, let's just suffice to say that some people could get better deals than others because of their negotiating ability. Now, is that fair? Well, no, it's really not. But that was that's where we were. I mean, that's how we did business. Well, that has changed for a while. I don't know how long it's going to stay this way, but a lot of dealers, most dealers are, because of the shortages that we have and used car values, prices have been locked in a little bit tighter. And it's causing some problems for people who like to buy new vehicles every 2 or 3 years, and they're just not completely up to date on what's going on. I mean, they know there's a pandemic, and they know, you know, who's in the White House, and we're being overrun with foreigners. But they know that stuff, but they don't know about the chip shortage. And so, no offense against foreigners, you know, as long as they come in legally, right? Okay, sorry. I didn't want to offend any foreigners that may be listening. I'm a foreigner. I'm from West Virginia. So you can't get more foreign than that. Well, I guess you can. We won't go there. But anyway, I work in an industry where the product is a very complicated product and a very complicated process, but that has changed. So most transactions are taking place on new vehicles at MSRP or higher. And that's what everybody wanted, right? They want to be like Elon Musk and Tesla, where everybody pays the same price and it's full list. Well, you know, that's not the way it has been, and the industry people in sales are having a hard time getting used to it, as well as consumers who are wanting to trade. But when the demand is like it is right now and the supply is as low as it is, this is what happens. You know, a car is also an emotional product. People buy based on sometimes just the way the car makes them feel, the way they see their personal image, and what driving the car make, you know, that this particular car matches who they are. So say they're real an outdoorsy person, then they like to drive Jeeps, for example, or they like, you know, they really like fancy, and they want, you know, when they pull up to the country club, they want everybody to know they got money, so they go buy a Mercedes. I mean, that's true, isn't it? Otherwise, everybody drive, you know, Bel Airs. You remember Bel Airs? You remember Chevrolet had the Impala was the top of the line. Then they had the Bel Air. Do you remember what the next one was? Yeah, it was the Biscayne. Did you ever own a Biscayne? That was the lowest of the Chevrolet full-size Chevrolets. That's just a little side note here. So how do you negotiate now? How do you get a better deal? Well, I'll give you some ideas. I think that if the dealer is not willing to come off of MSRP because he has somebody else coming in the door, remember, you're dealing with an emotional person sitting across from you, and that's a salesperson, and he wants to sell the car, and he's going to work his manager so that, you know, he gets a sale. And you got to understand there's two negotiations in most dealerships. There's two negotiations going on. There's the one going on with the customer with the salesperson, and there's another one going on with the manager and between the manager and the salesperson. Now, the manager's calling all the shots in most dealerships. He's the one that determines, yes, we will sell it, no, we won't, and how much for. Salespeople have little or no power other than their force of personality, their product knowledge, getting the customer to trust them and like them and feel comfortable with the process. And that's about it, and just asking for the business. So what can you get? What can you ask for? They won't budge off the price. Well, you can always go for some other stuff that may mean something to the dealership. And you know what they really want from you is for you to become a loyal customer, and they want to secure a relationship with you over the long term so that when you get ready to buy your next new car, you will buy it from them. So what do you think is the key way that they do that? Well, it's to get you back in their service department. And so one of the things that you could ask for is, okay, if you won't discount the car, how about giving me 3 years of free maintenance? Or 4 years, or however long you intend on keeping your car. Say, I will buy the car today if you'll give me 4 years of free maintenance. Now, so, you know, you're paying MSRP. That's just kind of the market price. And, you know, if you don't want to pay that, then wait about a year. But if you want one now, then, you know, that's about what it's going to take at most dealerships. So you can ask for something that doesn't cost them as much. You know, so prepaid maintenance, there is a, you know, typically they have a selling price for that. They'll sell it to you in the finance office, but it doesn't cost, you know, they've got markup in that. They've got a lot more margin in that as a percentage than they do in the car itself. So that's something that you can ask for. Another thing is you can ask for a discount on a service contract. Now, a service contract, a lot of people call them extended warranties, but it's not a warranty. It acts like a warranty. It looks like a warranty, but it's not legally called a warranty because only manufacturers can offer warranties on their products. So it is an agreement to provide certain service. You pay for that service. If you have let's say your transmission goes out and you followed a maintenance schedule and it's not your fault and it's covered under the warranty, then they'll put a new transmission in there subject to a deductible. What you can do is say, okay, I will buy this car if you give me 3 years of free maintenance and I would like a discount on the service contract. And they said, well, who told you anything about markup in a service contract? You say, the car guru. Well, who's that? Well, that's Lanny Lawson. You need to listen to him. He's on every morning. So, see, then I get another listener. He probably cursed me. But anyway, that's one other thing that you can ask for. Another thing would be, let's say, you know, a lot of people put accessories on their vehicles, especially trucks. Like, I just bought this new F-150. I'm going to be driving it for a couple years. And, you know, I don't really like the stance of any truck because what they do is the front end sits lower than the back end does. And so, I understand why they do that for aerodynamics, but I don't like the way it looks. So I always put a leveling kit on my trucks, and it raises front end about 2.5 inches. Yes, I know that sounds silly, but it does make them look better. And so I'm doing that and putting slightly bigger tires on it. It won't really affect my speed. I'm not going bigger in circumference. And I'm putting a bed cover on it. So what you could say is, okay, fine, these are the accessories I'd like to have, and what are your prices on them? And if they tell you, then you can say, well, I will buy the car at MSRP. I want my 3 years of free maintenance. You're going to discount the warranty to me 15%, and I would like to get 25% off on the accessories. Now, those are things that they'll probably do. They may not negotiate on the car, but they'll negotiate on some other negotiables. And you can end up saving money that way. Folks, I negotiated on a gas grill one time at Lowe's. And if you don't ask, you won't receive. I think that's biblical. But you have to ask. And, you know, it's just like my wife would sometimes say, Lenny, stop. You know, like she doesn't want me to get a discount. It's embarrassing. It's not embarrassing. You know, you just get used to doing it, and you'll do it on everything, and you'll be surprised how much money you'll save. Don't try it at Walmart, though. That's all I can say about that. Anyway, we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. You know, I was just thinking about a few other things that you could ask for that really doesn't cost the dealership anything. You know, to ask them, every time I bring my oil change in for the next 3 years, if you'll wash my car for me inside and out, then I'll buy the car. That'd be something that really, I mean, it cost them something, but that's not a direct cost. It's kind of an indirect cost. You could ask for that. And make sure whatever you ask for, especially if it's something they have to do down the road, get it in writing. Make sure you have something that you can present to the service advisor when you come in for service. I mean, always get it in writing. And another thing is when you buy a car, make sure that sometimes the dealership will promise you certain things like, yeah, we'll go ahead and order a bed liner for you and we'll do this and that. It's called an IOU. Remember those? And so What you do, or a WIO, sometimes in a car business, some dealerships call them WIOs. In other words, we owe them this or we owe them that. So make sure that you get a copy of your IOU or a WIO so that you have that. A lot of customers don't think about that, but when you're in a finance office, they'll probably have you sign a WIO, get a copy of it. Because I have seen it happen even in my dealership where the customer comes back in a week later and somebody forgot to order something. And the salesperson's off and the customer said, well, he told me he was going to give me a free vent shades or something like that. And he did. And it's on a WIO, but you don't have a copy of it and you're not talking to the right person. So always get a copy of your WIO so that you know what they owe you. And that's just the kind of things you'll learn on this radio show. And I hope you continue to listen and tell your friends about it. You know, if you know somebody that wants to learn a little bit and they don't have any, you know, they got time to kill on a weekday morning, have them listen to My Car Guru and also give them my cell phone number. I don't care. Just say, somebody told me to call you about this. And I love getting those kind of phone calls and helping folks. That's just what I do. And again, I appreciate you listening. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you Monday.